Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. Tonight we have the pleasure of being able to interview with the brothers over at Black Poly Nation. So, you want to hear from us, and if you want to talk to them, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you got any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to email us at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com, or you can go into the chat room at smoothdrama.com and ask your questions there, and we will make sure to hit the brothers up and with your questions. So once again, you have a variety of options. You can email us smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Or you can go on the website and jump into the chat room and hit us up there. All right. And without further ado, let's get the brothers on. All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama. How we doing, gentlemen?
Hello. Can hello. This is
hello.
Yeah,
how you doing?
This is Danny and Dev. Gentleman and a young lady.
I'm sorry, young lady.
That's fine.
My apologies. So how we doing this evening?
We're doing okay. I'm doing pretty good.
All right. I'm good. You know, I feel good. And I was just gonna ask y'all, because I'm guessing most people want to know, what's Black Poly Nation about?
Black Poly Nation is a black polyamorous organization. We have been around for almost a year now. Within that year, we have become the largest black polyamorous organization, both online and offline.
Okay. And so what made you want to start this organization?
What made us start this organization? The reason we started this organization, well, I'll say this. Black Poly Nation is a polyamorous organization that caters specifically to people that identify as black aboriginal, African, Afro-Latina, anything that kind of falls within that type of category. We aren't a people of color organization. We are very specific with that. So we do cater to a specific demographic of people that fall up under that category.
Just to add, we wanted a community-based organization where people can actually meet each other offline as well.
Yeah, so.
So, with that being said, as an organization, do you feel like you get any flack for what you represent? Any people come at you and talk to you about the more implications of what you're doing?
I wouldn't say that. For the most part, I mean, our community receives a lot of respect and a lot of encouragement and a lot of positivity. The biggest thing that we deal with is distinguishing ourselves from other forms of non-monogamy. A lot of people tend to associate polyamory with polygamy polygamy overall, whether it's polygyny or whether it's polyandry. And we like to make sure that people know the difference between polyamory and any other type of ethical non-monogamy.
Okay. So I know we have the different terms. So you want to explain it to the average listener who may not have a clue as to what you're talking about. What is the difference?
Sure. So I'll start with what people are mostly familiar with. Most people are familiar with polygamy. And when you hear the term polygamy, most people are mostly talking about polygyny, which is when a man has multiple wives. But what people also forget is that polygamy also includes polyandry, is when a woman can have multiple husbands. That's defined by both their gender and the ability to be able to have multiple spouses, which is legal marriage. That's that. Polyamory, on the other end, is a little bit more, I guess, diverse. Polyamory is essentially the state of being able to maintain or create multiple loving, and the key word to that is loving, relationships with people, regardless of your gender, regardless of your sexual orientation, regardless if you guys are even married. And is based upon ethical and open communication. So with that, that can be people who have girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, both. It's not limited to what people often see in the media, which is just triads, which is just three people. It's beyond that. You could be solo polyam. It's very diverse. So when people hear polyamory, we just like to make sure that they understand that it's not polygamy, it's not polygyny. It's a little bit more diverse and a little bit more, I guess, open.
Okay. So you have a home base where you guys get together. You have physical meetings with all people. I mean, how do you exist?
Well, in actuality, me and Danny, we're in Houston, Texas, but our organization is actually a global organization. We actually have meetups throughout the entire country. So it's not necessarily a small local organization.
Right.
It's actually a global organization. We're the largest organization. We have roughly about 12,000 Facebook members, 11,600 Instagram followers, about 5,000 subscribers to our website, and a little over 11,000 subscribers to our YouTube. So it's not necessarily a small organization, even though in comparison to maybe some of the older ones, they've been around for a little bit longer. But right now we're the fastest growing and the largest one that caters specifically to black people. We actually have roughly about 9 upcoming local meetups across the United States, all the way from Atlanta, Houston, Dallas, Philadelphia, St. Louis, Memphis. So it's actually quite a extensive organization, not just limited to one place.
Okay. So for the person out there listening, what would you say are some of the benefits to being in these relationships?
That's kind of like an open-ended question. I mean, because that really depends upon the type of dynamic you're looking for. I can just give some general ideas, because one thing I do want to also note is that polyamory, for the most part, because of its diversity, is really no different than a monogamous relationship, except for you're having multiple of them simultaneously, and all of your partners are aware. So we can say for a couple who may be polyamorous and they date separately, the benefits for them may be autonomy. They still get to have the relationship they want with their primary partners, but they also get to build loving relationships with other people and have that autonomy and run parallel relationships versus somebody who may date only together. They get to share those experiences with each other. They get to also have, individual time with their shared partners. It just really depends upon, or if you're a solo polyam person, you get to have, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different connections out there, and you get to be able to move freely between all of them without your partners having an issue with it. So it just really depends upon what you're looking for. It's not as structured as some of the other ethical non-monogamous types of relationships like polygamy. It allows you to be able to be you while also at the same time developing these emotional and in a lot of cases physical connections with people as well.
Well, it's funny you said that, because when you said it's like any other relationship, I was like, yeah, because most folks know that they're dating other people. They just don't talk about it.
Exactly.
So I'm a member of your Facebook group. And
gotcha.
This is Brown Sugar, by the way. And
okay.
I joined the Facebook group to learn.
Uh-huh.
I'm not in a position to be in a polyamorous relationship at the moment, but what I'm seeing is that what you just said is how I understood it to be, but most people in the group don't understand.
Right.
Okay. And it looks like it's a lot of people who are looking for threesomes and, you know, they're looking for a triad, which I understand that too, but I don't think they understand like the real meaning of polyamorous. Like it's, like you said, it is the freedom to be you, to love who you are, be with who you want to be with everyone else that you're with, understanding that.
Correct.
So how do you feel like the Facebook group is beneficial?
The Facebook group is beneficial because it allows the opportunity for people to be able to organize and meet. One thing we have to understand is that unlike some of our other black polyamorous or even just general polyamorous organizations, most of them tend to focus specifically on terminology, and that's it. To me, what distinguishes us between them is that although we open our platforms up to allow people to engage, you're still just a person. You still have to learn. There are people who are in monogamous relationships and monogamous organizations that talk about the same things, and it's like we frown upon them for communicating the way that they are. I like to say meet people where they're at. The vast majority of people in polyamorous relationships are new to poly, meaning that they are less than 6 months into polyamory. So that's regardless if they're in a discussion group that's only talking about terms or whether they are in an organization like ours that allows them to be able to interact more freely. We have to meet them where we're at. So we try to find a balance of entertainment, engagement, knowledge, and everything else. But we also can't change the reality that the vast majority of people who are seeking polyamorous relationships or people who are seeking close triads. And all.
And just to note that we're the only one bringing all walks of life, different types of people into our organization.
Right. And to even highlight that point even further, our organization is not an elitist organization. So although Danny and I are experienced, we consider ourselves polyvets. We've been openly polyamorous for over 5 years. We've been together in our relationship for almost 12 years. So we understand the ins and outs of both monogamy and polyamory, but we don't feel it's our obligation to necessarily pound down those terms. We want people to engage and connect. So when they're actually at these local meetups, they're having discussions. The last few meetups we had here just personally in Houston, when we meet up, we're talking. You know, we're having educational conversations about just how we move and maneuver through our polyamory day to day. But when we come to Facebook, it's a little bit different because it's like it doesn't change what Facebook is. Facebook is a community. You know, you have
right.
people who are there that are ratchet. You have people there who are college educated people. So you have some who that are both. You have people who are ignorant. You have people who are knowledgeable about things. It's a diversity of people. And for us, one of our main goals is to have people have a platform where they can engage and be themselves. And the vast majority of people who are new to poly we're not trying to scare them off, just saying, hey, you should know this and you should know this term, and if you don't know this term, then you ain't shit. You know, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know if we can. Sorry, I don't know if we can curse or not. But you're not.
Yeah, you're fine.
You're fine. You know, and I was going to say that it's internet muscles. That's what I call it. People get internet muscles on social media. And speaking of that, what does one of your events look like? So take us through, like you say, you come together. What does that look like?
Can I interrupt you just a second before you go to that? Because since I am new and I'm learning and I'm interested,
mm-hmm.
only because maybe in the future I'm looking to develop something like that. So how mm-hmm. would I go about learning? Because I feel like I joined the group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a member of any other group, so I don't have anything to compare it to. Because it seemed
right.
like I can't even remember how I found the group. Because I'm following you on Instagram and Facebook, and I can't remember
right.
like how it even happened. But I'm just really trying to learn, and I feel like
hard. The easiest way. The easiest way, and we tell to people, because a lot of people who are using Facebook don't know how to actually utilize the actual group itself. So the easiest mm-hmm. way to learn is we actually have tools. We have we have several tools. At the top of the Facebook group, you have a little thing, a search button. That search button is essentially the Google for our entire group. If you were to look up, hey, Poly Books. It's going to bring up a whole list of anybody who's ever talked about polyamorous books. If you look up the term, polyandry or polyamory definitions or polyamory terms, it's going to bring up a whole
mm-hmm.
list of any conversation that has ever happened that ever used that particular term. If you want to find people in your specific area, you can put up single people in the DMV, and it's going to mm-hmm. bring up people who ever used that particular phrase. That's just one tool.
Don't forget our file section
mm-hmm.
as well.
We have a file section where one of our members, who's a poly veteran for over, I don't know, 30 years or so, uploads educational polyamorous reports that have been documented by, you know, some of the most scholarly polyamorous people you can think of, 17, 20, 30-page reports that you can read through that's in our file section. We have the popular topic section that is in the middle of the – or not the middle of the group, but basically – in between the top and the announcement section, you have the popular topic section where we have labeled anything from educational stories, question and answers, all the way to pictures and so on and so on. If you look through that and you click one of those links, it's going to bring anything that we've actually tagged inside of that group where you can find all the questions, all the – we have – by us being the largest and fastest growing organization, it is impossible for people to, like, if you just log in at any given time and you just happen to see conversations about whatever, because we are a community, you
mm-hmm.
scrolling through 50 posts is not going to be able to give you it's not even going to give you a 1% of what we actually talk about inside that group, because it's impossible, because we allow so much engagement and discussion. We don't want to restrict
mm-hmm.
people, or within our rules anyway, because we do have rules and we do enforce them, but we don't want to restrict conversation, because that's how you actually build a community. We also
mm-hmm.
have the announcement section where we actually talk about a lot of the things that you're actually talking about right now, which is how do I find information? If you go to the announcement section, you look through that, you will find posts from both myself and Danny that actually direct you to these resources so that people can find the information that they're looking for. So it's just really about learning how to actually utilize the group. Because we hear this all the time, like, oh, hey, you know, we see you guys talking about this and that and blah, blah, blah. I always want to find this. And it's like, well, where do we find it? It's like, well, hey, you know, let me break down these tools for you and you'll find any and everything
mm-hmm.
you want. And each person that actually goes through those methods, they find so much educational content because we talk about these things daily. You know, we have just
mm-hmm.
in the last 28 days, over 350,000 engagements, contents, posts, comments, reactions, and stuff. And that's probably five times as large as any other polyamorous group that has ever existed. So the whole point is for us not to restrict conversation. But I do understand your perspective, because, you know, if I was a new person just coming into the group, or even a person who just comes in periodically, And I just see just random conversations about stuff, sometimes not even about poly specifically, I would be like, okay, well, hey, you know, what's going on? I came here to learn. But if you reach out, just like you just asked the question, we'll give you the tools you need to be able to find the information you're looking for.
Well, okay. I heard you mention there that you had the different shows across the United States, well, different
Correct.
Events, but I didn't hear West Coast.
Oh, that's fair. And I'll say this. I'll say two things. One, we have been to the West Coast twice, both in Los Angeles. And neither time did people come out in the numbers that we were hoping for. So we definitely have specific guidelines that we like
LA,
to apply.
LA sucks.
I'm sorry?
LA sucks. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you said it, not me.
I'm saying
you know,
most
it's
people
hard. So
in California will say that same thing, but go ahead.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I love LA as something that you say, well, hey, you know, that's a nice place maybe to visit, maybe to live and certain things. But when it comes to polyamorous relationships, or even more specific to Black polyamorous people, we just didn't receive the support that we would like to receive in order to continue to engage in an area. It's not to say that we won't go back, because we will.
But the crazy thing about it is that we get a lot of people asking on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah, I mean, we get people to RSVP for events and everything. I mean, the last event that we had there, we had roughly about 70 people, you know, RSVP, and not even 10% showed out, you know, in comparison to a place like Dallas or Houston, or, you know, Atlanta or Philadelphia, where people come out, you know, it's, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 people show up to these events, and we're just having a good time. So, you know, we have specific guidelines that we like to maintain to even qualify for one. But even if you qualify and you don't, you know, participate, then we have to move on to other places, because our goal is to not necessarily focus on just the big cities or the popular cities. There's Black polyamorous people across the United States, and we want to make sure that they're shown.
Okay. Well,
so have you thought about coming to the Bay?
Yeah.
Have you thought about coming to the Bay?
Have.
I mean, because we're kind of open.
Actually, we have. We have.
Okay.
And that's actually, if we were to come back, that would probably be the area that we would come to.
Okay.
See, you just made brown
sugar.
Yeah,
I know in your group it's very little Bay Area people. I think I did a shout out when I first got in, because I'm looking. I'm like, oh, this is just straight Southern. I'm like, this is not helpful for me at all. So I was like, where's all the Bay Area? Where's the Northern California people at? So, and there was maybe about 15 people that, you know, actually,
right.
I understand too that some people don't want to participate. They're kind of wallflowerish.
Yes.
So, you know,
yes.
I'm sure there could be
Definitely.
More, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we post every once in a while, you know, our top cities from the last 28 days every time, and it's pretty diverse. I mean, now I will say this, there isn't a lot of representation from the West Coast, but whether you're in the Southwest, the Southeast, the regular South, Northeast, Midwest, I mean, these places are representing all throughout the United States. It's up for the West Coast.
Yeah, well, West Coast is kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Well, I think it just needs some an awareness campaign. And because LA is the home of flakes. It's like you go to a place where there's some substance, and I think that you would probably have a better experience and a better turnout.
I agree. There's definitely something that we're thinking about.
Yeah, my decade in the Bay Area, they stand up for damn near everything out here.
That's what's up.
They'll protest cotton candy if they had to. You know, in speaking on that, so what are your organizational goals? I mean, so what's the Black Poly Nation goal? Your idea, what does success look like for you guys?
You going to go past that? Success for us is something that we look at on a daily basis. So, I mean, it's really getting more people engaged and making sure that the diversity that is shown within Black polyamorous relationships is visible. It continues to be a safe space for us. Sometimes people give us flack for maintaining our Black identity, which is something that is non-negotiable for us. We support polyamorous people of all walks of life, regardless of their race.
And it's just a community base, because a lot of people are just connecting on friendships as well.
Right, exactly.
And that's the major component
of our of our organization.
Yeah.
People are actually making
friends,
you know, as adults. Which is sometimes
hard.
So,
y'all saying that y'all are Black people who actually are comfortable in your own Black skin and you want to feel safe talking to Black people?
Yeah, I know. Shocking, huh?
What the hell? Anyway, I'm just playing. But, yeah.
It's the truth. It's the truth. We get that a lot, even from our own. You know, if like, you know, why we don't allow. Now, I will say this. When it comes to our Instagram, we have quite a few, you know, non-Black, however you want to phrase it, people.
And anybody is welcome to ride.
And our events, people can show up. I don't care what color you are, you can show up to the event. We're not that type of organization. But when it comes to our Facebook group, where it's a little bit more personal, a little bit more personable, a little bit more, you know, close-knit, that's just that's non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you want to come to an event that's going to be 99.9% Black, more power to you. You know, I mean, you're welcome. We're not going to turn you away, but we will stand by the fact that this is an organization dedicated to people that look like us.
All right. So I'm a comic book guy, and so comic book conventions are huge, and I always wondered why, they don't have like. If you had a polyamorous convention where you get all the organizations, y'all rent out one spot and everybody comes together, you have booths and y'all talk. I mean, you ever gave thought to that kind of idea, that concept?
All the organizations?
We are open to working and networking with any organization. And we will stand by that. I will say this right now, because of our growth, there is some discontent within the community of how we maneuver throughout the Black polyamorous community. But our arms will always be open to anybody that is willing to network. We actually have, you know, people who are looking to open up.
UK.
You know, we have a UK. Affiliate that is interested in basically, you know, associating themselves with us, with our branding over in the United Kingdom, because we do have members who are in Canada, UK, France, all parts of Africa. We network with other organizations, some organizations, when it comes to promoting themselves on our Instagram, or that it comes to events and so on. So we're always open to doing so, but not at the expense of us being able to accomplish our goals. Some people have goals that are not in line with ours, and that's just what it will be. But we will at all times will be open to networking with any Black organization that is looking forward to putting Black people first, and polyamory as, you know, because that's what we are. I mean, we may be polyamorous people, but when I'm walking down the street, they're not going to be like, oh, my God, is that a person? I mean, they're going to see me. They're going to see Dev. They're going to see a Black man. You see Danny, they're going to see a Black woman. So as long as that's your priority, then we're okay.
Okay. Well, it's funny. I hear this because, like I said, I'm a comic book publisher. And so it's like, you know, we know all the publishers across the country because it's only a few of them, right? And it's like, you know, it's not necessarily about competing. I mean, because we're talking about we're all people with original ideas. And I just, you would think that, hey, we're talking about friendship and good loving.
I would hope it would be that easy.
I mean, you would think so, but it's just.
I really wish it was.
So you think that it's something that's like a divide that is too wide where you guys couldn't even have a conversation about it?
No. At least not from our end, it wouldn't be. Yeah, at least from our end, it wouldn't be something that is, you know, not repairable. But there are things that are. I mean, I won't use this interview as an opportunity to talk about or you know, defame or mention any of those type of things. But no, it won't happen. That's not what I was. When you bring something new to the table, you know, sometimes older organizations may not necessarily like that, especially if you're moving and growing at a pace that is much faster than theirs. And that's just what it is, and we'll just leave it at that part. But we're always open to networking with anybody, regardless of how long they've been in the game, because that's the type of people that we are. We're about the upliftment of Black people first. And Black polyamorous people as well.
Well, they've been in the game for 5 years or
longer.
Okay. So if people wanted to get more information, where would they find it?
Anywhere, actually, because our SEO game is strong. No, I'm just kidding. our first and main platform is the Facebook group, where if you searched on Facebook, you can search for Black Poly Nation on Facebook. It's a closed organization, a closed group, but you can still search us and find us there. Instagram, you can easily find us. That platform is public. Black Poly Nation there
Black
as well.
_poly_nation.
Right. They can just simply search in Black Poly Nation. It'll come up. You can reach us on our main website, www.blackpolynation.org. And if you also wanted to follow us on our YouTube, that's Danny Dev TV, and we cover a range of topics from Black polyamorous relationships in general, down to even cooking tutorials. So we're everywhere.
Okay. So, I mean, you're everywhere but the West Coast, the Bay Area.
Ha, touche. But we coming back to
and
the Bay.
And we feel like if you're not here, and if you're not here, you're not anywhere. So you need to get that fixed for real quick.
I respect that.
No, but you know, seriously, it's been great having you guys on, and you know, I would love to be able to meet up with you guys sometime.
Yes,
you
and
have
continue the discussion.
Yeah, you guys have any? We would definitely love to be there. Hang out.
Yes.
Do some stuff.
I mean, let's sound like we need to make something happen then, because now y'all push the Bay Area up on top, so we might have to go ahead and make that happen, and we'll push it. You know, we may need y'all to throw out some shout outs too and get the Bay people organized. But you say it's easy for y'all.
That's easy. Yeah, that's easy.
Okay,
one.
There we go.
They stand up for popcorn. Cotton candy, you name it, they'll stand up for pretty much everything out here.
That's what's up.
Yeah, if it's something we're passionate, because I'm a Bay Area native. He's only been here for a few minutes, but I'm a Bay Area native. And you know, if it's something we're passionate about, that you know we feel like it's, you know, it's a cause, it's a movement. Yeah, I mean, but if we don't know about it, you know what I mean, and that's what usually happens here, like. Sometimes you don't find out about something. It's like, wow, had I known, I would have came out and supported that. Like, we, you know, big time support things that we are passionate about. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think
I see guys on Instagram, though, the Bay Area. It's just more so on Facebook. It's missing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, so your Instagram followers are big? Okay.
Yes.
And
yes,
I could see that, because I think for Bay Area people, you know, Facebook is kind of like, okay, kind of played out for us. And, you know, Instagram is popping. You don't really have to, like, be on there. You know, Facebook,
right,
you got to take some time. You know, that takes some time.
Right.
Instagram, you can view a few pictures, you know. And because, you know, we got to move quick out here. So,
right.
Yeah.
Even though it's the same company, but I'm just saying.
Right. Once again.
It's the exact same company, but hey. Anyway.
What's convenient for you? What's convenient? You know, I can't be
Instagram,
on Facebook all day at my job, but you know, I can't be on Facebook for hours at my job, but I can scroll through 5 minutes on Instagram and like some things and keep it moving. That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
ADD.
Yeah.
So once again, I want to thank y'all for coming on, and I'm hoping that we can have y'all on again when we're talking about that event that y'all are bringing out here to the West Coast.
Definitely, and we definitely will come on. We'll make sure we get the Bay Area engaged and get you guys out there, and we're going to try to work on that real soon for sure.
Oh yeah, so we're friends now, so we'll stay in touch. And
there
we'll
go.
All right. Yeah. Well, once again, thank you guys for coming on, and I look
thank
forward
to Danny and Dev.
Speaking with you guys.
Thank
again.
You. Thank you guys
you.
For having
no
us.
All right. So, I guess that's, ladies and gentlemen, is it. Black Poly Nation was in the house, and all the listeners out there, you know, when they come to the Bay Area, we got to stand up or sit down or lay down, whatever you do at a Black Poly Nation event. Anyway, on that note, we are going to go on break. This is Brown Sugar's favorite part of the show. This is an exhibit. Choke me, spank me.
Choke me, spank me, pull my hair. Choke me, spank me, pull my hair. Choke me, spank me, pull my hair. Choke me, spank me, pull my hair.
Cinnamon, or a taste of honey. It ain't funny when she walking up over my can. No, I get a fool. I know what she like. She act like she act like she ain't going to buy the night without five. They're going up in the ass so quick, so fast. I see it's way tower that I'm ready to crash. Walk around naked with you beautiful last.
I just want to fuck you.
But no.
The donuts.
Okay. All right.
I mean, one is just messy because it's glazed donuts, so you're holding it, you don't
exactly.
get your hand all glazed.
And your fingers are sticky, your mouth
right.
is sticky, everything is sticky, and
so that's to elicit that finger looking good. It's like, you just licking your fingers because
yeah.
you got that donut glaze on it.
But see, the thing about it is they're like at the bottom of choices as chicken goes. Anyway.
Well, that'd be churches.
Oh, see, I wasn't even including them in the race. They weren't even in the race.
But that's what I'm saying. See, so when you say the bottom, it's the bottom starts with church's chicken, and then it moves up.
Yeah, but I wasn't even including church's chicken in the race, so they weren't even in the race.
Okay, so
I was thinking of KFC because I don't. I mean, I think people who go to churches are the people where that's your neighborhood restaurant. You can't go anywhere else. You know what I mean?
Ooh,
I can
really?
Walk to churches, so this is what I'm gonna eat. Well, that's what I'm assuming. I'm not thinking people drive to get to churches.
I don't know. They gotta drive through. They gotta drive through.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't use it, but. I'm just saying,
right.
Church's chicken has a drive-thru. That's a depressing thought. Anyway, I am more convinced than ever. I have not touched the Popeye's chicken sandwich because I am of the belief that there has to be some crack, some methamphetamine, some opioids in this sandwich to make these
I'm
foods.
Still trying to figure out the hype. Like, I'm trying to figure out the hype for all of this. I'm for Chick-fil-A. I'm trying to figure out the hype. The crispy, crunchy chicken that was told that everybody, oh, you have to try this. It's delicious. And I'm like, it tastes like chicken.
Right. Well,
it all tastes
all
like
I know.
Chicken.
I'm not touching it. I'm not going nowhere near it. I refuse to go anywhere near it. I mean, because it's like if they're going to keep coming out with chicken sandwiches, that is a concerted effort. They know black folks love chicken. Next thing you know, they're going to come out with some with watermelon. I quit. I'm quitting.
No. That's when it's time to burn it all down. That's when it's time to set fire to it all and the game is over.
Yeah, we're going to set fire to your whole spot. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Seems like we have a call. Let me see. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. Where are you calling from and what can we do you for?
I'm calling from Mississippi.
Okay.
My name is Billy. Now, I only listened to the show for about 3 or 4 seconds, so I'm not sure what the topic is right now. But I'm wondering if it's more black people complaining about white people for all their problems. I don't know what you can tell me what the topic is. I got a lot of material. I'll give it to you.
Actually, we weren't talking about white people or complaining about white people. We were actually complaining about chicken sandwiches.
So do you go to Chick-fil-A?
Nope.
Get your chicken sandwich? Why
not?
I have been. I've had Chick-fil-A before, yes.
It's delicious.
It's a chicken sandwich.
Where do you get your chicken sandwich at? Where do you get
it? Go ahead.
I've had Jack in the Box, I've had McDonald's, I've had Chick-fil-A, I've had the Popeyes. It's a chicken sandwich. It's chicken.
Mm-hmm.
It's all chicken.
Chick-fil-A's the best. Chick-fil-A's the best. That's the best one there is out there.
Okay.
You know,
well,
I'm not impressed by any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you make your own Chick-fil-A?
That's
okay.
Not my name, but no, I don't.
Yeah, well, we
you know
got...
what? Actually, I take that back. I've had it. He hung up.
Yeah, I hung him up. Yeah, we're not gonna be.
I could be. You know what? You already know. I could be Shaquilla though.
Yeah, no, we not gonna be called out our name. By some guy in Mississippi.
That is another personality. I can be Amanda.
Mm.
I can be Shaquilla too.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm not gonna do it. And yeah, complaining about.
And that's your right.
Chicken sandwiches.
But you know what? Now that I think about it, I've had the chicken sandwich from Cheesecake Factory. To me, those are the best.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I try to stay away from that. All right, and speaking of, since we were being told that we were complaining about white people, I will say another Groundhog Day. In lieu of what Cam Newton, Drew Brees, and somebody else getting hurt, still nobody's calling Colin Kaepernick. They're calling people who are retired. They probably would call me if they could, if they thought that I would look good in the football uniform, because it's obviously not about winning or, you know, having a competent football player. He still doesn't have a job. There, one team, Miami, has, one team had, the Jets have their third string guy who's never played a snap in his life. He's going to be their quarterback. I at this point, think it's quite hilarious that they say, no, we're not whiteballing me. He just was not an efficient football player. You won't even bring him in for a tryout. That's not racist at all. It's football thing. So we're gonna bring in some people who have never played or thrown a ball, not one time in a real NFL game, from a guy who took his team to the Super Bowl. That he sucks.
Do you feel like, I mean, I still feel like it's racism, but I also feel like it's more now, like, we're going to teach you a lesson. We're going to show you. We're going to, you know what I mean? It's more like a retaliation than anything.
Well, I've said my piece about American football. I think it's dying slowly on the vine. And in lieu of the young man who just died on the football field, RIP, last Friday, and the proliferation of flag football, it's just, when you stop running out, because it's not like you're going to get a foreign influx, because nobody else plays football outside of North America. So there's no immigrants coming in like the NBA and diversifying the game, whatnot. American football is the least international sport out there. So for me, I just see the end. The end is coming. It's coming. It's just a matter of time. But that's just me. I may not see it, but I know that time when American football as something that we aspire to do and enjoy on the weekends will just go away, and we'll do something else. It might not be cricket or Quidditch, but it'll be something else.
Well, I can see it being violent. Rugby, which is even worse. So.
Oh, well, rugby is, there's no pads, so rugby is even, it's ridiculous. So, before we go, though, you remember Amber Geiger?
Mm,
Remember Amber Geiger? Most people don't remember Amber Geiger. She's that the former police officer who broke into a guy's house, shot and killed
him. Oh, yeah,
him.
I remember that.
And, you know, was like, oh, well, he was acting funny. Yeah, probably because you broke into his house.
Well, wasn't that her boyfriend?
Well, you know, she said, you know, he's a stranger. I mean, he's in the dark, which he's entitled to be in his house. I mean, and it's one of those things. You break into someone's house, you mistook it for your place. I mean, one, it's still murder because you had to be plastered above all plastering to break in. You know, this the whole we suspend our belief that we've all come to our places of residence. And I can't remember one time actually trying to go to the wrong place. Not that I've gotten drunk or anything like that, but even my drunk homies, I have not seen them like knocking on the neighbor's door trying to break into their house because they thought it was their house. And being successful, I may add. And then killing the person and then saying, well, they were acting funny. Like, yeah, I'd be acting funny too if you broke into my house, my place of residence. Well, anyway, they were trying to move the trial outside of that Dallas area, saying that they couldn't get a fair trial there because of the media coverage. In the meantime, they are they're saying that no police officer can take time off during that time, just in case something happens. Meaning, and I could be speculating, but it sounds like the fix is in. And so when I say the fix is in, that means that she's going to be found not guilty for breaking into somebody's house and killing them. For some strange reason, she'll break in and kill someone and be let off because of something that he did. Maybe he, you know, he ate a Snickers in Walgreens 18 years ago. I mean, they'll come out with something stupid that happened that he did that has nothing to do with the fact that she broke into his place and killed him. And they'll let her off, and that'll be it. I mean, because does it not seem like a pretty cut and dry case here? Pretty cut and dry.
You know, I can't comment on
that. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. So there are the facts, and then there's suspending our beliefs, right? And so suspending our beliefs, the fact that, and I keep saying this because it just makes sense here, but I'm wrong here, apparently. I know I'll be wrong. You can break into someone's house and kill them if they're black and you're white. And probably get off with it. That's what we're speculating on.
90 seconds.
I mean, it's not far fetched. I mean, so for example, Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman stalks an underage young man and kills him because the young man had the temerity to defend himself from a stranger who was stalking him, and he used stand your ground.
60 seconds.
He used stand your ground. And so what happens is he gets off for murdering a young man who did nothing but come home from the store. And so I can see Amber Geiger getting off from murdering a man who had the nerve to just look and see somebody in his house and be disturbed by that. On that note, for Miss Brown Sugar. I am Mr. F the N Word. This is another Smooth Drum production. Special thank out to the people at Black Poly Nation. And we'll holler at y'all. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you've got
smooth.
Drama.